Hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and did work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Super excited to have this particular guest on the show, a multi-six-figure business strategist for established female Christian coaches and the owner of the BCW Can Do Boutique. She's not only a coach for female coaches, but also service providers. And she's going to be showing us how she drives responses, replies, and more with email marketing beyond the sales, because we've talked a lot about sales. So beyond the sales, let's see how she's driving responses and replies with email marketing. And when I say established and business strategies, I'm talking coaching, challenges, journals, candles. I've seen her do it all in business and win at it because I've been following her for quite a while and I've been privileged to be a part of some of her programs. And oh my, you're definitely going to love today's particular session. I particularly love how you bring in all the different dimensions of you, Beverly, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Safaya. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm super excited about today's conversation.
The pleasure is mine. Now, before we dive into email marketing, I'm curious because you have a candle boutique. I mean, I see people talk about candles, but then we don't get to see a candle boutique. And you have quite a different style with your candles, the way they are created, the vision, mission behind them. And I'm like, you have such a rich line. And then I'm beginning to wonder, like, what's your favorite candle and why?
So there are currently two collections to the candle line. So we have the classic collection, which has joy, peace, love, renew and restore, praise and worship. And then we are getting ready to launch the entrepreneur collection. And so we're doing pre-orders for that right now. And so the entrepreneur collection, it includes clarity, purpose, momentum, abundance, and the fifth one is called Next Level. And so since you're going to make me choose, I'm going to choose one from the classic collection and one from the entrepreneur collection. So from the, and it really and truly, the purpose of those candles and the names and everything, it embodies whatever mood you are desiring. And so I'm going to go with peace for the classic collection. So that has like a lavender scent. So once again, it's just like, you know, when you just need to kind of, you know, do like that and just say relax and all of those things. So I'm going to say the piece from the classic collection. And then from the entrepreneur collection, I'm going to say, I'm going to choose abundance. So I'm going to choose abundance with that one because it's just really and truly for that entrepreneur that is believing for more. So, you know, if you're believing for more in your business, then the abundance candle would be the one that you would want to light. So since you made me choose.
That's fine. I was leaning more towards next level. I really thought you would say like next level, but...
Well, that was the internal struggle. Like when you saw me trying to decide. And literally when I smelled that scent for next level, like I took the cap off and I smelled it and I immediately said, this smells like next level. So, yeah. So I was going back and forth between abundance and next level. But since I have my green on today, we're going to go with abundance. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you shared a very interesting fun fact. You love to kickbox and we're talking heavy bags, real gloves. How did that come about?
So when I was looking for a way to kind of stay active, I get bored very easily. And so like walking and running and stuff like that, I'm like, I don't want to do any of that. So there's a gym not too far from where I live and they offer kickboxing. And what I loved about this gym is that the trainers are real boxers or either like retired boxers. And we are using the real material. So it's not like cardio kickboxing where you kind of kick in the air and stuff like that. No, you have real gloves on. You have the heavy bag, you know, that you were hitting and you learn the different punches and kicks and all that stuff like that. And like I said, I like the fact that it is, you know, real boxers that are actually doing the training. So, you know, they don't play with us. So, you know, it's an amazing workout. So I love it. I love it. I love it.
Wow. Wow. Now let's get right into the email marketing side of things. Maybe we'll see how kickboxing comes into email marketing and, you know, how we can leverage scented candles for better email marketing results. I mean, now you filled programs with just email marketing. You have built community with email marketing and lots more. And I want us to circle back to the beginning because a lot of times people think about like their present, their now. And they don't really go into how it started. And sometimes people see the big wins now, but they don't know the journey that took you to get to this particular place. And, you know, the twists and turns that you had to make to be able to have this strategy you have in place that is working for you now. So I want us to go back to the beginning today and then pick it up from there. So the first thing I will say, if you were to give email marketing a job description in your business today, what role would you say that email marketing plays?
Oh, if I had to give it a role in my business, let's call it the chief marketing officer, because with email marketing, at least for me, you know, that is something that, you know, we hear this all the time. Like, I don't own social media. Like, I don't own any of these social media platforms. You know, but I can communicate with my email list free, you know, without any issue. As long as I pay the bill every month, you know, I can message my email list. You know, it's something that I know that is mine. And so for me, it's an important part of my business, you know, on those days where either one, you know, social media is acting wonky, you know, or two, you know, I may not want to deal with social media like that. So I know that I can leverage my email list. You know, I built a community, you know, on my email list or via my email list. And so for me, I'm going to call it the CMO because of the fact that, you know, it is something that is consistent, something that, like I said, I don't have to worry about the algorithm and all of that stuff like that. So that would be the job title I would give.
I mean, I've heard a lot of things, but this is the first time I'm, you know, seeing email marketing be called the CMO. And it does make a lot of sense, really. It really does. So tell me, in the early years of your business, right, how were you using email marketing back then?
So one of the things I think fortunate for me, especially coming into the online space, is the fact that, you know, I understood the importance of my email list, you know, having an email list. So that was something that I had built from the very beginning. Like when I first came into the online space, what was this, about 9 years ago? I understood the importance of having an email list. And so I was really, really intentional about at least building it, you know. And so it was a part of the journey from the very beginning. Now, how I used it at the beginning versus what it looks like now is different. But I did understand even back then that I did want to make sure that I had a way to be able to communicate with people, you know, to be able to build that relationship with them via my email. So, yeah. So even from the very start of the business, I always have one.
Yes, yes, love it. Now, when we had our prior discussion, there was a particular key phrase that you used, and I said I was going to really touch on it. You know, you talked about when you started email marketing, how it felt like, you know, at some point it felt like an echo chamber. And I feel like a lot of people could resonate with this, but I just want you to tell us a bit about what that experience was like.
So at least for me and my experience with my email list, you know, it was just somebody said email your list. So I email my list. Like I did it because they said I was supposed to. I didn't really have a strategy with it. It was just email my list. You know, if I had a program I was looking to steal or if I was, you know, looking to do something, you know, then I just shout it out to my email list. So that was the initial intent for it until I really realized and understood the power of leveraging it as a community. So having a strategy with it. And I realized that I could share things with my email list because in my mind, I'm like, you know, getting someone's email is different, you know, than connecting with them on social media. Because social media, I just have to push like or connect or friend or, you know, whatever platform I'm on. But with your email list, you know, to me, getting someone's email list is a different level of commitment. And so I'm like, hey, you know, they're giving me a next level of commitment. So I want to honor the fact that they did, you know, allow for me to get their email list. So I mean, get their email. So I was like, okay, I want to build a community. Like I want to use this to be able to have conversations and, you know, converse with my list and, you know, share things with with my list that I may not have shared with even my Facebook community, like my Facebook group. And so that's how I kind of viewed it. Like I wanted it to be a space where, you know, I could communicate with people, you know, send that email out and then, you know, have it set up to where they could actually respond back to me, you know, depending upon what the email was about. And so kind of build that relationship, get those kind of responses, something where it's private in the sense of when they respond back, it was only the two of us that were conversing at this point. Because of course, you know, if I post something on social media, then they're responding in the comments and everyone can see it. But at least with my email list, then this is just a dialogue. So although initially the dialogue starts off with me and everyone on my list, you know, when they respond back, then now it just becomes a one-on-one conversation. So that was one of the biggest things, was I wanted them to be able to see those on the list that I did value the fact that they, you know, trusted me enough to have their email address, you know, and take that next step, you know, that next level of commitment, that type of thing.
That's powerful. Now, I'm wondering, right, because of what it is you wanted to achieve with email marketing, before you started getting like the responses to your emails and stuff, when people weren't responding and it felt like you were just throwing stuff out there and trying to make it work, how did you feel about that? How did you feel about trying to get your emails to resonate, about trying to get the responses? I'm just curious as to how you felt, really.
Yeah. So for me, my thing is always if I'm doing something and I don't see it working, just the business strategist in me, I want to know why. You know what I'm saying? I want to know like what's going on. You know, why are they not responding, you know, to the emails? And for me personally, when I would, because, you know, of course, I'm on my email list. And so I would go back and read my emails and I'm like, well, Beth, that's why. You know what I'm saying? Like you only connect with them when you want something. Like who wants to be in a relationship where someone only communicates with you when they want something? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't even want that as a human to human relationship. So my email list is a relationship. Then I have to start viewing it as that. And I have to start nurturing it the way that I would a regular relationship. And so that was the shift for me. So like I said, for me, it wasn't, oh my gosh, you know, these people suck and they don't, you know, I'm just going to unsubscribe everybody. And da, 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 da. It wasn't about that. It was me. Like I had to look at myself first and look at how I was actually leveraging it and realizing that it wasn't beneficial to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you only want to talk to me when you want something, why would I respond back? Why would I click on the link? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was that. And so I had to look at myself. Then I was able to then correct that because it was me.
I really felt it when you said that, you know, that you're on your email list. So did you go ahead and like fill the subscribe form and put in your details and say, do you know what?
Yes, I did that for a couple of reasons. Just for like, you know, once again, business strategists, I did it for deliverability's sake, Yahoo account, my Gmail account, and my regular, you know, my business account. Like I did it all three of my emails because I wanted to see, if, you know, where did they go? Like, where did they land? Did they actually land in the inbox? Did they land in the promotion folder? Did they go over to spam? So, you know, just from the business side, I did it like that. But like I said, also just for myself, you know, when I actually was looking at that and I'm like, well, what's going on? And I actually, you know, read one of the emails and then read another one and then read another one. I'm like, this sucks, man. You know, I was real honest with myself. I'm like, this sucks. You know, that's why they're not responding, because you don't see them as someone that you would want to build a relationship with or build a community. So, yeah.
So did you ever feel like unsubscribing from your own list?
I know, like I should have. When I realized the pattern that I was doing, I actually said, don't blame them. Like, I don't blame them when they unsubscribe. I don't blame them when they don't respond. But no, I did not unsubscribe because of the, you know, I still wanted to make sure that stuff was getting delivered and all that stuff like that. But I understood.
All right. So let's take a step back. You mentioned deliverability. And I know that people who are already in the email marketing world know a thing or two about deliverability. But then for some people who are just, you know, getting right into it and want to see what other people are doing, they may be wondering, like, what exactly is deliverability? So in your own words, could you tell us a bit about, you know, what deliverability is to you?
Now, for me, you know, not being the guru when it comes to email marketing like that, you know, it was me looking at the data when it came to the actual emails that like landed in people's inboxes, whether or not people were marking them as spam. You know, those types of things. So it was one, I wanted it to actually make sure that it was landing in people's inboxes. You know, for those who it wasn't, one of my sequences, you know, telling them like whitelisted, you know, in an attempt to kind of make sure that it landed in their inbox. Like some of the things that I had heard and studied, when it came to email marketing, because of course I wanted their emails to actually land in their inbox versus like their spam folder. So just doing little things once I realized, like, you know, this was a strategy that I heard would work. You know, if you ask them to whitelist, you know, your email, or if in that initial email that they received, especially like, you know, like if they opted into something and you had the sequence that went out, you know, to ask them to respond to something and things like that. So yeah, so it was that. Playing around with the, what is that called? The two-step, whatever, the little, you know, where they would have to opt in to actually receive the email. So yeah, it was just a couple of things that I played around with, you know, to kind of ensure that the emails would get delivered, that people actually wanted to be on the email list, like those types of things. So those are just a couple of things that I did to kind of to try to increase the deliverability and ensure that it landed in their inboxes.
Those are very, very important things that you did, actually. So getting them to do the double opt-in where they sign up, they go confirm if they really want to be on the list, then getting them to whitelist you. Sometimes people are afraid to ask, and I'm like, you might as well just ask them, especially now that they're still like hot, right? I totally feel you, especially when you talked about the fact that, you know, you were reading your emails and it was like you were just seeing them as a dollar sign. A while back, I was doing like an audit for my own list, and I'm like, why am I struggling? And I just realized that it was like I had shifted from my initial goal of, you know, trying to help people to grow, providing value. And then right now, I was just focusing on, let's get the conversion. Let's get the conversion. So let's make the sale. Let's, you know, get the $10,000 from your list kind of results that all the gurus are talking about. And I had to like take a step back. So I reduced the number of emails I was sending. And I had to like look at myself internally. I'm like, I actually did go read some of the emails that I sent like maybe 2 years back. And I could see like some really big differences. And I'm like, okay. I see what I'm doing wrong. Because then I was sending those emails and I was making the sale. And then now it was like just focusing on, so you know how we talk about value and we talk about sales and trying to balance it. But the minute you're not careful and it goes out of balance, right? Then you begin to have issues because people just feel like you just want to make, I mean, people know. It's not like they don't know. They know that you're going to sell to them. But if you're giving them that value that it came for, they really wouldn't mind being sold to. But if it's like you're living off of that value and you're just focusing on just buy, they can smell it from afar off, and then it begins to affect how it is that they respond. And so as you said this, I just remember that I also faced something like this not too long ago. I really had to do an internal audit, and it wasn't a nice feeling having to like accept the truths and all of that. But yeah,
I think what's powerful with what you said with that is the fact that you actually pause to kind of do an audit yourself, you know, versus, you know, saying, oh my gosh, they didn't want to, you know, all the stuff that we could say about them, versus you kind of looking at yourself and say, well, hey, let me kind of, you know, audit myself and see what's going on and see if I can figure out, you know, what's going on and why there's been a shift. And so when you're able to do that evaluation and that self audit, and, you know, you realize that, wait a minute, you know, it's not them, it's me. And then now you have a chance to course correct. So I think that was powerful in even what you did with yourself to kind of look at your own data.
Thank you. And I hope you all see the strategies coming out. I mean, she just went into full-on strategist mode there.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while I put the little hat on, but okay, I took the strategist hat back off. But yeah, I just thought that was powerful when you said that, because once again, it can be so easy for us to blame other people. Oh my gosh, they only wanted the freebie anyway, and they only did that. No, let's look at, you know, and see if there was anything that I shifted and changed that I need to go back and kind of like reevaluate. So I thought that was out.
Yeah, definitely. So now let's move forward into, you know, where it is you're coming from to where it is that you are today a bit, right? So I know that we talked about challenges of sending messages that the audience didn't resonate with, but you also did some certain things along the way. Aside the fact that you shifted your approach to building a mailing list, right? And you moved from building mailing lists to actively building an email community. You also switched your email service provider along the way, right? So I want to know, when you say shifting your approach, I know you talked about like giving value and not just trying to see them as a dollar sign. was there a particular, let's say, format that you were following in terms of, okay, my emails have to tick these boxes, or format in terms of these are the kind of emails I now want to write, right? That we're now focused on building the community. And then when you say building the community, what does that really mean in terms of results and expectations?
The shift in building a community on my email list, it was a shift with me and just wanting to build community, period. So whether or not it was my email list or whether or not it was social media. And so because I had made that decision that I wanted to focus on building a community, you know, the email list was also impacted by that as well. And I didn't necessarily, you know, follow any type of formula in that sense. It was more of, you know, once someone reads my email, you know, what do I want them to walk away with? Like, you know, what was the nugget in there that they can literally, you know, they see that value in that. And just like you said, you know, it's that value component of it, you know, and, you know, a lot of it, I do try to have some type of storytelling component to it, you know, when it comes to the email list, just when it comes to my content, you know, period. Because I find that when you leverage storytelling, people, you know, they literally try to, you know, put themselves in the story. So it kind of makes it more relevant and real to them. So it's certainly leveraging more of storytelling when it comes to my content. But like I said, not necessarily following any type of formula. It was just like, once again, when someone gets done reading a piece of content from me, how do I want them to feel? What is it that I want them to walk away with? And that was always, that's always, even now, period. Like I said, any piece of content that I put out, that's the ultimate goal. And so, like I said, even with the email list, there's not a certain sequence that I follow. It's just a matter of, you know, ensuring that there's some value there, ensuring that they walk away with something. And then for those that, you know, want additional support, because it's only so much you can give in a piece of email content. You know, if you want that true transformation, then you can invest in this, or we can talk about this. So inviting them to then, you know, continue on that journey of transformation. And if you want that, then this is what you can do to be able to achieve that. So definitely including value, but also including an invitation to get the level of transformation that they need, right?
I like the formula because it just ties in nicely with the candle that I like. So it's like, you know, give them something actionable that they can use and then invite them to invest to go next level. It's so aligned with me. It's going to come up a lot in this conversation. But yeah, we're inviting them, we're helping them, and we're taking it next level. And I think that that's something that people should actually leverage. The fact that we're not saying don't sell on your emails, but we're saying that help people, then invite them to go next level. Because the fact that they trust you enough, or they see the small result, or they see the small step with the one email, or the five emails they read, and, you know, stuff like that, it makes it easier for them to say, do you know what? I want to take the next step. I want to move forward. And so you actually have to add in that invitation, right, to the email as well. So it's not like we are now doing, oh, purely sales or purely this, but we are just bringing everything together. So it's just like in synergy. And I like the way this is flowing. Now, we're talking about getting these people, you know, to community mode, where it's not just list building and you just hit like subscribers, but it's like people you actually genuinely want to help. And then I'm just thinking, when it comes to, you know, this community, I know that you send a lot of emails, and I mean, I've seen you pivot and sell so many things in your email list, like, and somehow you have a way of just bringing it together into like our overarching like reason for being on your list. So to say, so for example, you started the candle business, but when we joined because you were like business strategies for Christian entrepreneurs. But these candles still like resonates with us on a very deep level, because it's like we have the abundance, we have purpose, we have next level, you know, that kind of thing. But we didn't sign up because of candles, but you brought in candles, and somehow you knew how to make the messaging, you know, fit in to where it is that we were. And so that it was so easy for us to say, oh, we are also interested in this thing that Beverly is doing. And so two things that I'm looking at, how do you ensure that your messaging, because I think it's a big part of the community, is always on brand, irrespective of the diverse pursuits that you have or the different sides of you trying to bring that in? And then the second thing is, what are the steps you will say? Because I know that I've replied a couple of your emails, and sometimes I just sit and I'm like, oh, I need to respond to this before XYZ. And I'm like, so what are some of the things you do intentionally or unintentionally, or things you have seen work that help you to drive those responses and replies to your emails?
Even with the candle business, for me, it's having that level of transparency. Like, I take you guys on the journey with me whenever I'm doing things in my business. And I share with people, it was actually a coaching. It was a 30-day challenge that I did that birthed those candles. So the people in my community who were a part of that challenge, they were there when it was birthed, you know, when the idea was dropped in my spirit to actually do it. So, you know, they were a part of it. And that was such a powerful thing to kind of bring you guys along on the journey. And then this second collection, which is the Entrepreneur Collection, I created that with the entrepreneur in mind because that is my target audience. And so, you know, the names, Next Level, Clarity, Purpose, Abundance, Momentum, you know, those are all things that as entrepreneurs, we can all relate to that. You know, there are times when, you know, you need to be clear. There are decisions that you need to make in your business. So, hey, light this clarity candle, you know, or there are times where you need to be anchored back into your why. So you're going to light this purpose candle, you know, or there's things that you have to get done on your to-do list. So let's light this momentum candle. Or like I said, if you're believing for more in your business and it's the abundance, and then if you know that it's time for you to step into your next level, then light this next level candle. And so it is in alignment with entrepreneurs and the things that we, you know, every entrepreneur can relate to at least one of those things. So those candles were, it's a, to me, just an extension of, you know, being a business strategist, working with entrepreneurs for as long as I've worked with and being one for as long as I've been one. So to me, it just complements it. And so, you know, when I shared the journey with everyone, when it came to the candles, you know, and the launch of that, and even, you know, we did a launch for the pre-sales of the entrepreneur candles, and it was mind blowing, you know, like the response to that. So I think a part of that, and whenever I make these, you know, these shifts and changes and things like that, it's being so transparent about it and inviting you guys along for the journey. So that was that first part, you know, when it comes to the candles and being able to, just like you said, you know, people are like, well, hey, you know, you're a business strategist. Where does candles come from? You know what I'm saying? Like that part, but being able to show them the connection between the two. And it's because of you guys that Entrepreneur Collection was even birthed. You know what I'm saying? So you guys are the reason why they're here to begin with. So, you know, it was because of the entrepreneurs, because of the people that I get to work with on a daily basis. You know, you guys were the source of that. So that's where that candle piece fits in. Now, what was that second question?
As regards the second question, I was saying that aside the messaging side of things, I know that you send a lot of emails and I have replied to some of those emails. And so I'm saying, what are things you have done intentionally or unintentionally, or things you have noticed or seen in your journey that actually help to drive, you know, replies and responses to emails that you send out?
Yeah, For me, you know, I see my content as a conversation, you know. And so I want people to converse with me. You know, I want to create content that's going to drive engagement, that's going to get conversations going. And so I see that it doesn't matter if it's a social media post or if it's an email to my list. And so, you know, when I want to be able to have that dialogue, when I want to know what's going on with you guys, then I'm going to create that content. I'm going to shoot out that email where I get to know that, you know, so not only do you guys get to know what's going on with me, you know, I want to know what's going on with you as well. So a lot of times it is intentional, you know, when I create that content that gets the responses, because I do want to know, like I am genuinely interested. I do want to know, you know, because my thing is, you know, you guys are on the list for a reason. You know, if you didn't want to be here, you would have unsubscribed. So you have not unsubscribed. And so, you know, my goal is, my job is to ensure that the content that I'm giving is of value. You know what I'm saying? That it's going to help move the needle. you know, when it comes to what it is that you do in your business. I genuinely want to know. And so, like I said, a lot of the times that it is very intentional. The content that gets the responses back, whether or not it's my email or even on social media. So yeah, it's definitely 99.9% of it is intentional. Those times where people do respond, you know, and a lot of times with any of your content, period, when you're just thinking, hey, I'm just going to share something, you know, it's not, you don't put a lot of thought into it in that sense. You're like, hey, I just want to share this. And you actually get some of the best response, some of the best engagement for something that you didn't plan like that, but it was just something that, hey, I just want to share this with you guys. And, you know, if you can relate, cool. So, you know, some of the ones that I've gotten the best engagement with actually hasn't been, you know, some of my intentional content. It was just, hey, I just wanted to share this. And it just resonated with people so much that they had to respond. So, yeah.
Love it. And I'm picking out particular keywords from what you're saying. I picked out transparency. I picked out intentionality. But the fact that, you know, you carried people along the journey. And so even though you were making a bit of a pivot or bringing in something new, they knew about it. They were not taken by surprise. In short, they had even been part of the process. And so you see, that's like a minor shift that is going from just list to community. So if we look at like community, there are people that have like same beliefs, right? People that believe in a particular vision and that kind of thing. So when you're doing that and then carrying them along with the vision and how the vision is evolving, okay, they get to see it, they get to know it. And it's like, they can even speak on behalf of the brand because you have taken them through the journey with you via emails and other ways. Now, when we talk about intentionality, is the fact that you don't just send your emails as like, oh, hit and miss. You're sending these emails particularly because you want to achieve X, Y, Z. And so you're taking out time to plan it. Now, the last word I was looking for was resonance. And I really picked in on that one because yesterday I was listening to something again and it still boiled down to resonance. The fact that people can relate with it is like, because you said something, you said, if you can relate with this. So the fact that people can relate with it, the fact that people may have experienced something similar in the past or have been in those shoes, right, is something that will always, always drive engagement. So you can see that she has given us three different things, you know, very subtle. But if you pick it, you pick it. That can help you when it comes to driving that engagement, building community and getting responses. And she said 9% of time, it's intentional. So we're not just sitting back and saying, okay, I want people to come to reply and respond to my emails. I want people to come and buy. But there are things that you're doing intentionally. And as you're doing it, you're also looking at the results that you're getting from it, right? So these three things, I just had to really just sit on it for a bit, just so people actually listen and pick it up. Because sometimes people are looking for that very, you know, guru strategy, the ABCD, the FYZ, you know, framework for this. Uh-huh. And sometimes it's just like in the little things that we're supposed to be doing, that we may not really do because we feel like it's not this really famous framework that has been packaged to attract us and, you know, yeah. So yes, I really love that we looked into that. So I wanted to ask, you changed your email service provider at some point. As somebody who has been particularly guilty or found guilty of changing email service providers multiple times. And by multiple, I'm talking 5, 6, 7 times on my end. I'm just wondering, what was the experience like for you and what made you decide to, you know, make that kind of pivot?
I think this is the third one that I've had in 9 years. So when I initially came into the online space, I had one service provider and I felt like it wasn't giving me the robust reporting that I needed to be able to help me make some decisions in my business. So then I switched to another email provider that was very good with the reporting, but it lacked some of the things that my first service provider had. So I went back to them. In all honesty, I ended up shifting again. So to the current email provider that I use now. And so that shift, it was easy to do. And that's one of my biggest things for me. Like, it has to be easy. And it has to make sense. Like, it has to be something where if I had to go in there and do something and not like my VA or something, then I need to be able to go in there and maneuver it. And, you know, I'm not the most tech savvy person, but I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay, you know, when it comes to tech and stuff like that. if it's pretty intuitive, then I'll be able to catch up and pick up on it. So, you know, for me, that making that transition, you know, to the one that I'm using now. So, like I said, as long as it's pretty intuitive in their customer support, like I have to be able, if I have a question, you know, it shouldn't take 5 weeks for me to get a response back. Like I need to be able to get support from customer service, which I am. So those are some of the biggest things. Like I need to be able to pull the data that I need to pull to be able to help me to make decisions. And we talked about that earlier, you know, being able to use your data to make decisions versus trying to make decisions based on emotions. And I think, no, look, what does the data say? You know, you have to think, like, look at your data, not going based on your emotions. As long as I'm able to pull the reports, you know, look at the behavior of certain, you know, people that are on my list. And like I said, being able to make decisions from that, the ease of use for me. Those are things that I definitely look for when it comes to that. So like I said, this is the third one technically, you know, that I've used. And I think I'm pretty good with, you know, where I am right now. So yeah, we should be good.
That's great. Do you mind sharing the name of your current, you know, service provider with us?
Yeah. Right now I use MailerLite, which once again, it's been very intuitive to me to use. And so, like I said, even the first one that I was using, if it's intuitive, you know, and I can pull reports and run the data, then I'm good. And so, you know, with MailerLite, which is what I'm using now, it's pretty intuitive for me. So, and like I said, their customer service is amazing because I did something really, really silly last week and they were able to fix it. They fixed it like that. Like, thank you. Because I messed up.
But yeah, I can only imagine.
I'm trying to block it out my mind.
And just yesterday, I was on a call with somebody and I recommended two platforms to her. And one of the platforms I recommended was actually MailerLite. I really like what they have going on, especially like automation side of things. And the fact that it's actually easy to use, because I know that a lot of business owners, especially people who do stuff themselves, just want something that won't stress them, but will get the work done. Like just be functional and simple, you know, that kind of thing. All right. So now you've made a lot of changes in your journey from when you first started to where it is you are today, right? In terms of building your list now, right? From just building your email list to community and all, what would you say are your top three tips, aside all things we've talked about, for somebody who wants to, you know, go from just building an email list to building a community?
One, very similar to what you mentioned a little bit earlier, to, you know, getting back to your why, you know, so you want to be anchored in your why. So, you know, if you desire to have a community, you know, if you desire to build relationships with people, especially as a business owner, that's a powerful thing. So one, you know, pay attention to your intention. You know, have that intention of actually wanting to build relationships, wanting to get to know the people who are part of your community, you know, having that genuine interest. So you definitely want to do that, have that genuine interest, you know, in building the relationship. And then two, being strategic about it. And so for you, you know, you have to decide what works best for you and the people on your list. You know, there are people that say email your list every day. There are people that say email them twice a week. Whatever it is, but you have to find the cadence and the rhythm for your audience. You know, remembering that there are people on the other side of that email. And once again, they've given you the privilege of having access to their email address. So you definitely want to make sure that you respect that. So like I said, one, definitely anchoring into your why and wanting to actually build a relationship through being strategic with the actual content that you send out to your people. And then three, I'll say the third thing when it comes to that, it kind of ties into the first one, is wanting to genuinely connect with people. And so seeing your email as a connection, because I truly believe that right now people are craving connection and relationships right now, just the state of the world that we're in. And so if you have the opportunity to be able to just to take some time out of your day, you know, share with your audience what's going on with you, you know, as a business owner. And then being able to then invite them to share with you what's going on, you know, in their world, then, you know, you end up with that longevity when it comes to them being a client. And, you know, they will actually look forward to your email, you know, your emails coming in. They will actually email you and they're like, well, hey, I didn't get your email today. Or, you know, you had emailed us in a week. Is everything okay? You know, like that type of thing. Cause I've literally had people do that to me as well. Like, man, where are you? You know, I hadn't heard from you in a while. So, you know, when you have those three elements, I think that that's really key to building the community and building a relationship, especially with those who are on your email list. You know, like I said, when it comes to that content and you sharing in that third step, you know, not being afraid to have something that's exclusive just for the people on your email list. You know what I'm saying? So that they get access to something that other people don't have access to. So once again, just the power and being intentional about building those relationships.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I love it. Now let's look at results and impact, right? So if you asked like measurable results, you know, shifting from list building to community building has, you know, brought for you and the impact it has had on your overall business and sales, right? What are the things you're going to say about that?
Yeah, definitely with my email list, it does certainly help with sales. And so for me, I believe from the data that I've gotten from the research that I've done, that a lot of the people, they may see my content on social media, but it's also having that consistent connection with them via my email that kind of drives home. And for those that may be sitting on the fence, you know, I know that they're coming in via the emails that are sent out. So for me personally, my social media and my email list, they go hand in hand. But I really feel like the driving force for a lot of my sales is because of my email. And so, you know, that's just an essential part to my business. And so that's one of the key things that I have noticed that, you know, especially if there is something that, you know, and this is just strictly about the sales. So if there's something that I am, you know, whether or not it's a program or, you know, course, whatever it is, you know, that I may be looking to fill, you know, those final spots or whatever, then once again, the strategy that I have when it comes to the email sequences that go out, they've been very powerful. And like I said, securing those sales, you know, whether or not it's the first few sales that come in or, you know, those last few sales that come in. So I love to be able to use my email list as like the bookends, you know, to get the sales going and then to close in those final few sales for whatever it may be that I'm promoting at the time.
Powerful stuff right there. You didn't call it a chief marketing officer for nothing. It's doing a lot of heavy lifting for you.
Yes, it does its job. I put my email list. I make them work. Like, look, you're going to be here on the clock. You got to do your part now. Look.
Yes, very important. Very important. And then when we look at engagement side of things, would you say that, you know, this shift has also helped to improve your engagement for your email lists vis-a-vis open rates, clicks, and the likes?
Yeah, when I got intentional about the type of content, you know, when it came to my list. So initially when I was starting, like my open rate was like 10-15% somewhere. And so I'm like, well, hey, you know, that's 10-15% of people who may not have seen it, you know, on somewhere else. So I'm cool. But like I said, once I actually got intentional about my list and actually, you know, about the content and being strategic, that's when my open rate shot up, you know, and just depending upon, you know, what's going on, you know, which I'm actually really good. It's anywhere between like 30-50%, just depending upon what's going on. So that's the initial, you know, me shooting out an email, you know, not including like me kind of, you know, sending the email out to those who didn't open it, you know, like doing some of those other things, like for those who don't open it. So that's pretty much what my open rate is, just on the regular, between 30-50%, just depending upon, you know, what's going on with the emails. You know, one of the strategies for me are being really strategic with my subject lines. You know, I know either people are going to open my email because they see my name, so they're like, okay, what is Bill talking about today? You know, or because of the subject line. So, you know, kind of getting them to at least open the email. That's always my first step, is to at least get them to open it. So then she's like, what is Bill talking about today? You know, with that. And then, you know, being able to get them to, from opening the email to reading whatever the first sentence is, to, you know, kind of hook them in there. And then to actually getting them to respond to what a CTA may be in that. So, yeah. So, yeah, definitely seeing my open rate shoot up. Mm-hmm.
Powerful stuff. I like the idea of what's Bev saying today. So maybe, you know, we should start acting ourselves like a reader of our email list so that we can actually see things that our audience would be interested in, you know, like knowing about. Yeah. So definitely. So now, what are the biggest mistakes you see people make with email marketing today, in your opinion?
Yeah, this is just me because I do work with people who do leverage their email. Some of the mistakes that I've seen just with my clients is, you know, they're not strategic with emailing their list. So, you know, they may email their list once or twice a month, and it's usually when they're selling something. So I see that as a huge red flag. Or they may go on the opposite end and they may try to emulate some of the big like retail stores that may email you 5 or 6 times a day. So they see that and they were like, well, hey, such and such does that, so I'm going to do it too. Like, wait a minute, you know, no. So, you know, they go from one extreme to the other. You know, those are some of the mistakes that I see. You know, going back to what's your purpose, what's your strategy, you know, to your email list. Like, so, you know, not having a strategy when it comes to the frequency of the email, or not having or not being strategic with the content of their email. So being able to support them and creating the value content, you know, within their email. And then I'm like, okay, now that you provided that, now don't forget to call to action, you know, to invite them to do whatever is next to be able to experience that deeper transformation. So I'll probably say those are some of the biggest ones I see, not strategic in, you know, the frequency of their email and the purpose of that, and then the actual content of their email.
Good, good, good. Love it. Now, what's your go-to lead magnet type? Are we thinking PDFs, guides, webinars, quizzes, or something else?
Oh my, it has definitely evolved over the years. So initially when I came into the OMI space, my PDF, my, you know, six-figure partner. So that was definitely one of my biggest ones. But the ones that get the best engagement is when I do quizzes. And so I haven't done a quiz, and I have one in my back pocket. You're going to see if I want to do it or not. But quizzes have been really cool for me. And then for me, masterclasses, for me personally, when I'm able to interact and engage with my audience live, it's a whole different level. So, you know, those are just for me some of the things that have been really powerful with building my list. Like I said, PDFs when I initially got started, quizzes, and then like masterclasses. So anything that I do live, they usually like to come on in and, you know, be in the room. I'm always somebody get in the room. So those are things that have been really helpful in building my list.
And we all need to get in the room. Don't worry, I'll tell you how you can get in the room very, very quickly. Now, what's your take? Evergreen launches versus seasonal launches?
My background is in education. So I was a middle school math teacher for 14 years, transitioned into training and consulting for other companies, and then doing it myself. So for me, I feed off the energy of the audience. So if I have something live, and, you know, being an educator, I'm used to working with people in cohorts versus it being like either evergreen or ongoing, you know. So that's just my own personal, because of my personality. So I'm definitely the seasonal launcher. I love launching. I keep it very simple. You know, I'm not doing all this long, drawn out stuff, because that's just not part of my personality. So that's me. It's nothing wrong with evergreen. It's just not my, for me personally, it doesn't fit my personality. You know, like I said, I love interacting and engaging. And even, you know, and I know even now with evergreen, like you can still be like in the chats, you know, in engaging with people. But for me, it's just nothing like the energy that I get from presenting live and, you know, the knowing that the people are there and seeing what's in the chat and all that stuff like that. Just for me, it's just something that kind of, you know, like, yeah, they're there. Yeah. Or if I'm not getting response, like, oh, this sucks. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can course correct, you know, in the midst of it. Because like I said, with my background being in education, you know, I know how to deliver content. You know, I know when you have a classroom of 37 graders and you're trying to teach them the Pythagorean theorem, yeah, you're going to find out real quick how to keep people engaged and stuff like that. So for me, it's just, I get that and I just draw from the vibe of the crowd. So yes.
I have to say two things I'm picking out here. Number one, know yourself. Number two, leverage your background. Like I see people be like, oh, I was doing this and now I want to come into email marketing, or I want to become in this. And they're wondering, and I'm like, there are so many transferable skills. There are so many things you can transfer without even knowing. Now just see how keeping 7th graders engaged is playing out on keeping entrepreneurs engaged in let's say like a 90-minute webinar. So I think we need to learn how to leverage our background and to really understand ourselves and our style, because I really love how you broke it down in the sense that you're picking it because of your own personality, not necessarily because this one is better, but this is just what works for you and you actually know it. So before we wrap up, you talked about, you know, you take time to work on your subject line. So what would you say makes a great subject line?
I'm definitely not the expert, but one of the things that I've learned from myself with my audience is if I've had their name in there. So definitely having their name in the subject line. For me, it usually had, like, I've had some type of emoji that will get them. And there's something that's going to pique their curiosity. So whether or not it's me asking a question, or something that may seem either weird or even something that's, I'm going to use the phrase pop culture, just something that's kind of, you know, where I know my people in my audience are going to get it, you know, because I know the people who are on my list. So usually those are going to be the things. And like I said, you know, when I have that little formula, it does skyrocket my open rate because, you know, like I said, they've been rocking with me for years. And so it's usually like, what is Bev talking about? You know? And so, and the other thing I will say, don't do is like that clickbait. Don't have anything that's just random in there and it doesn't have anything to do with your email. Like, don't do that. But yeah, like I said, the things that I do is just, it's about piquing their curiosity enough that, because think about it, people's inboxes are flooded. Their email inboxes are flooded. So, you know, what's going to be that subject line, that thing that's going to kind of grab their attention out of the hundreds of emails that we get in a day to where they're going to open yours. So that's always my thought process with that when it comes to my subject.
Definitely action steps for every one of you listening to this to try. Now, Beverly, I love how this conversation is going. I don't want it to end, but I need to let my listeners know how they can get into the room, how they can find you, how they can work with you. So where can people connect with you, learn more about what it is you do? And second, is there anything interesting or, you know, something you're working on that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, so thank you so much, Dr. Sapphire, for this opportunity to come on and have this conversation with you. So I am on all social media platforms. Just search Beverly Wathour. Like, my name is very unique. So certainly search Beverly Wathour. I'm most active on Facebook. So, you know, if you want to know really what's going on in all the things, then certainly check me out on Facebook. If you are an established Christian female coach or service provider for coaches, and I do have a Facebook group called Highly Successful Christian Female Coaches and Service Providers. So that's where we kind of hang out, you know, in the online space is over there on Facebook. And in particular, if you are a coach, a Christian coach or a service provider, then, you know, go find us over there on Facebook. And then my website is just www.beverlywathour.com. So those are all things coach, you know, coach or business strategies. And you can find all those things there. And then if you're interested in the candle line, then once again, you know, we have our social media pages for those. So it's BCW Candle Boutique. And the same thing, we're on all social media platforms. So, you know, whichever social media platform is your jam, then, you know, search us and you're going to find us there. And then you can connect with us there. And then the website for the candles is www.bcwcandleboutique.com.
And yes, I'm going to definitely be dropping all these links in the show notes so that y'all can go over and, you know, hit that button and get all the information you need. Today, we have looked at beyond sales, driving responses with email and replies with email marketing. But beyond that, I think we have given y'all a mindset shift into just what you can do with email marketing, how you can make it work. And Beverly has been so generous with us to show us just exactly what it is she's doing and how you can leverage that in your own business. So if you do not walk away with anything, please don't forget the action steps that she has shared and don't forget to connect with her on social media. Now, before we drop off, because we must drop off, I need you, I want to make a recommendation. if you are going to check out the candles, please join me in Team Next Level, because everybody deserves to go next level in their email marketing, in their business, and in everything you're doing. I mean, you should build momentum is good as well. I think that's another one that I really like. You should build momentum. But while you're building momentum, get ready to go next level. So if you pick up a momentum candle, then also get the next level one. It's very important. And with that, don't forget to follow us, subscribe, comment, and share. This is still Email Marketing Experiment, where we bring you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Very simply, what people are doing in their business that has worked and didn't work. And today you have gotten a whole bag full of goodies. Don't forget to apply it. Until next time, stay tuned. Thank you so much, Beverly, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.